So, tonight we're looking at Ecclesiastes 4. And it starts in Ecclesiastes 4:1. Again, I observed all the acts of oppression being done under the sun. Look at the tears of those who are oppressed. They have no one to comfort them. Power is with those who oppress them. They have no one to comfort them. So I admired the dead who have already died, more than the living who are still alive. But better than either of them is the one who has not yet existed, who has not seen the evil activity that is done under the sun. I saw that all labor and all skillful work is due to a man's jealousy of his friend. This too is futile and a pursuit of the wind. The fool folds his arms and consumes his own flesh. Better one handful with rest than two handfuls with effort and a pursuit of the wind. Again, I saw futility under the sun. There's a person without companion, without even a son or a brother. And though there is no end to all his struggles, his eyes are still not content with riches. So who am I struggling for, he says. I'm depriving myself from good. This too is futile and a miserable task. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person alone keep warm? And if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Better is a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king, who no longer pays attention to warnings. For he came from prison to be king, even though he was born poor in his kingdom. I saw all the living who move about under the sun follow a second youth who succeeds him. There's no limit to all the people who were before them, yet those who come later will not rejoice in him. This too is futile and a pursuit of the wind. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it and to take things from it that will make us better and closer to you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ecclesiastes, it was written by, it says, the teacher and son of David. So it must have been Solomon. Now, Solomon began well, but he ended badly. And as much as it gets you in trouble for saying it, it was because of his many wives that he took from other nations that led him astray in following other gods. Ecclesiastes is his reflections on all of this at the end of his life. And it should be noted that after the end of his life, his son Rehoboam came along and acted even dumber than he did, and caused everybody but the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin to take off and form another country. It begins by talking about oppression. Now, we've heard a lot of this lately, where people talk about the people who have power and the people who don't have power, and people who are oppressors and people who are victims. That's not what he's talking about exactly. That is sort of what he's talking about, but it's not the way that they're doing it nowadays. Some people oppress others. They may not even know it. How many times in the military did I have a supervisor who was just an inflamed hemorrhoid? And he impressed people, but he didn't really know it. That's just the way he supervised. And then on the outside, it didn't change. You had people who were managers or whatever, and they did the same crap. They often have power for very little reason. Sometimes it's just because they're in the right place at the right time. There's a thing that's called the Peter Principle that says everybody rises to their lowest level of incompetence. Now, what that basically means is if you can do the next job, we move you up to it. If you do it well, well and good, we move you again. And eventually you get to a place in which you can't do it very well. And so you just lock in right there. So some people just have power because they haven't reached their minimum level of incompetence yet. Dr. Peter actually said that the only reason any business actually works is because there are still enough people who have not reached their minimum level of incompetence yet. So you've still got people who are competent to do some things. And once again, there are people who are competent way higher. And so they just keep going. Strangely enough, they're usually not the ones who oppress people because they know. It was strange when I was in the Air Force because if an officer was not a pilot, he would usually just, he'd let you know that he's an officer and you better respect him. He'd be all over you. And if it was a pilot, they were so easygoing, it was amazing. And the reason was simple. The Air Force is about pilots. If you're a pilot, you're what the Air Force is about. And so these guys had no insecurities. You know, in the Navy, pilots very similar. I actually had a Navy pilot when I was still in the Air Force. They would come and train at our base in Korea. And I said, man, you guys do all this stuff that they put you in jail for if they did it in the Air Force. And he says, I take off and land for a little bobbing thing in the middle of the ocean. If they fire me, where are they going to find somebody crazy enough to do this? And I figured, oh, okay, I understand now. But then Solomon says, it's better to be dead than alive. Because living is hard, dying is easy. I have a whole sermon about that. But at any rate, if you're dead, theoretically, you've gone through your life, you're all done with that hardship and stuff, and now you're done. But he says it's better if you haven't been born yet at all, because you've never experienced any of this. Once again, this is head game philosophy here, you know. And then he says we have labor for the wrong reasons. First of all, he said people will labor very hard for envy. Their striving comes from wanting to get ahead of others. One of the things that I had a guy in the Navy who told me, he says, you have to understand that when you're about to get promoted, it doesn't matter if you're good at the rank you're at now. You have to be really good at the next higher rank, so they'll move you up to that. So they're always striving to make people think, oh, I'm one step too low. Move him up, move him up, move him up. In the Air Force, it was much easier. That was politics by assassination. You know, there was very little rank or anything, and so basically what you did was if there was a guy who was higher than you, you want to get him in trouble, so he's out of your way. If it was somebody that is your rank, you want to get him out of the way because you don't want to compete with him, and if you're somebody one rank below you, you want to get rid of him because you know he's coming for you. So, it's just, you know, the idea is that They consume themselves, working so hard to do all of this, and they could just take it easy. Better to take what you have than to wear yourself out. And the next reason that people work really hard is greed. They always want more. It is attributed to J. Paul Getty, who was way back in the 30s and so on, was very rich, oil man, and richest man in the world at the time. And they said to him, "Mr. Getty, how much is enough?" And he goes, "Just a little more." No matter where he got to, just a little more. And I always had to laugh because I had a friend named Rock, and they said his last words was, "Oh Lord, just one more." But see, he wasn't trying to get something. He was trying to lead people to the Lord. "Just let me lead one more." This man died in great honor. They always want more. They're never content. Whatever they have, they want more. They want to move up. They want something different. They want the newest, the latest and greatest. And very often they get the latest and greatest and they can't figure out how to use it. And now they're more miserable than they were before. He says sharing is better because you have friends and you share things together. Okay? We knew when I was in the Air Force in the Philippines as a dog handler, we knew that all you had to do was yell, "A up." I don't know where that came from, but that was our call. If you yell, "A up," there will be a half a dozen canine handlers. And you better be a canine that yelled that, because they're coming to take care of a canine. And if somebody yelled that, that wasn't canine, they're in trouble. But if it is a canine, whoever caused him to do it, whatever's happening now. And these are people don't like each other. Very often, the people don't even like each other. But no, you don't mess with canine. We just don't play that. Submarines is very similar, but not quite to the level that canine was. And he says a threefold cord is not easily broken. Now, wait a minute. We've been talking about two people at a time. Now, all of a sudden, we've got three. That is the idea that God's involved in this. You've got two people who are working together, and God's helping them. That's what we really ought to be looking for. And then, one reason people work hard is for advancement and prestige. He said, "A youth becomes king because the old king is arrogant. He's been king, and he thinks he just deserves this." Once again, we're having politicians that happens. "You have to keep voting for me because I deserve this. I've been at this for all this time." And then again, you find some people and you say, "Yeah, but I don't think I really want you to keep doing it because you're doing a real bad job of it." But see, the old king rose from poverty. And now people want to follow this young guy who's come along and said, "Wait a minute, let's try it the way it's supposed to be done." Now, once again, sometimes this youth comes along and says, "I have this whole new, better idea." Right? Build back better. No, that's the old guy. But at any rate, sometimes he comes up with this idea and it's really no good. But sometimes he just says, "No, wait a minute. We know how this worked. Let's go back to that." But then again, there have been many before them. There's going to be many after them. And the people are never going to be satisfied. No matter what happens, they'll be happy now because things are getting better, but then it'll taper off. "Now they don't like him, get me somebody else." So what's the use of that? And like he says, it's nothing but chasing after the wind, because no matter what you do, eventually they're going to turn to somebody else. So what does all this mean to us? Well, oppression is futile. It doesn't help. You can oppress people, and all they're going to do is just like we used to do in the Air Force when people were sitting here and coming and trying to destroy us because they thought we're coming after them. It's like, no, you have to understand, I'm better at this than you are, okay? And I'm not worried about getting your rank, but I'm worried about you taking mine away. And so the next thing you know, everybody is after this guy. And he makes some little mistake, and boy, they pump that up so big that he just says, oppression is futile. When I was in the Air Force, I learned a great lesson because I became a staff sergeant. I became flight chief. Now, the way they did it was they were having special training for different things that had been changed in the law enforcement and the Air Force. And so they took a few people out of each flight and they formed another flight who would go in and would be there during the time these people were in training. And of course, if you're the flight chief, you're not going to give up your best people. You're going to give up terrible people. So here I come, and I'm the flight chief of this terrible people flight. And with them. So I walked in and I said, look, I know you guys don't understand this, but I'm not going to be like the flight chiefs you've had before. I'm not here to try to hurt you. I'm here to take care of you because I figure if I take care of you, when somebody comes for me, you'll take care of me, right? And I got real lucky because the first night there was this guy and he got in trouble on a completely bogus tip. But boy, this master sergeant was just going to come down on him like a ton of bricks. So I went in and he says, what are you doing here? And I said, well, you called my guy in. I'm coming. Well, why should you be here? Because we have what's called a chain of command. See, and that's my guy. So if you got something to say, you need to tell me because I'm between you and him. And he got mad. And, oh, boy, he was going to write me up. And he was this, that. So we go down and we talk to the senior enlisted advisor. And he just backing him up because that's the way the Air Force is. So then I said, okay, I want to talk to Ops, which is the deputy commander. And he just was, whoa! He was captain, didn't know which side was up or anything. So then I get up to the colonel. And the colonel sits here and he listens to all this, and we've got all these people in the room, and he's looking around and going, why are you people here? Fletcher's right. If you've got a bitch, you tell Fletcher and he'll handle it. We have this chain of command, right? So I go back and I write this guy a letter of counseling. And this guy was the happiest to get a letter of counseling anybody you ever heard of. Because he didn't get written up like this master sergeant was going to. Well, now they're all after me. And my flight saw it. And they realized what was going on. And so they're always trying to find something. Well, in the end, we went back. And it was discovered that I had had the greatest results of any flight. So they took another flight who wasn't doing so well, and they split up the people. And they put them. Well, now they're coming. They're going to get me. So they discovered that I was using too much gas. So I said, oh, how many miles did they go? What? So you got to record the miles. Right, and it turns out I was using 1.5 times as much gas and getting nearly 4 times as much mileage. Guess what? My guys weren't in some little hidey hole reading a book. They were actually out there rolling and patrolling. I said, okay, so what's the percentage of things that were called in and things that were found? We were exactly opposite. 90% of everything we wrote up was found in progress. 90% of everybody else was being called in. So Major is just, or Colonel is just sitting there going, what's going on with this? I don't understand. And so then the next thing you know, he's telling everybody, get off of Fletcher's back. And the idea of this is, if you just what I said, if you take care of your people, they take care of you. We don't need to be oppressing people. Envy wears you out. You ever seen somebody who's just really envious? Oh, running around with a chicken, like a chicken with their head cut off. How can I get ahead? How can I get ahead? Just wears you out. Greed leaves you alone in unascendance. If you're being really greedy, nobody wants to be around you. And when you get in the deep darks, there's nobody to help you. Once again, like I said, I'm taking care of my people. They took care of me. Advancement never really gets you anywhere. I discovered that. We had people who were moving up. And then all of a sudden, they'd hit a level they couldn't handle. And nobody even looked back at all the good works that came before. It's just like, no, you're terrible. Get out of here. I don't want you anymore. I, on the other hand, having restarted in the Navy from the Air Force and having to start it from the bottom come up, I never got to my minimum level of incompetence, whatever that might have been, because I didn't have enough time and I got retired. Advancement never really gets you that far. It's better to relax and enjoy what you have and be content, okay? Oh, I don't have this big house. Do you have enough room to live? Yeah. Be content. We go to the store, and Pat, being counter, is always going, is this too much? Is this whatever? You know? And I'm going, look, if I come there and he says this is how much it is, and I've got that much in my checking account, it's not too much. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Just say, thank you, Lord. There's enough money to pay for what I just got. Be content with what you've got. So what's Philippians? What is that?
That's Paul's being content with what he's got.
Oh, okay. Philippians 4:11-12. It's from Paul. Be content with what you've got. Well, it looks like it worked out really well. You got a good scripture for it. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We thank you for your word for us. Help us to understand it. We know that Solomon was this really wise guy, but we also know that he kind of diverted all over the place. Here in this book, he's trying to find what the meaning of life is and get himself back together. We don't really know if he ever actually did it. Thank you, Lord, that we have the Bible to guide us where we should go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.